You paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Thank you, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Now, Kim told you during the news there about that terrible story. I mean, an assassination, really, or perhaps it looks like in England, a member of parliament, and all of this comes as they're debating Brexit. You know, I've been sort of obsessed with Brexit, and they're going to vote on it next week. We talked about it yesterday. We're going to sort of get an X's and O's of that situation tomorrow on the Business Lunch. But today, England reeling, really, with the fact that a member of parliament has been killed, and apparently the dispute in one way or another involves this debate about whether Great Britain should leave the European Union. They've suspended the campaign there on either side as they sort that out. So that's coming up tomorrow on the Business Lunch. Right now, I want to talk a little bit about your money and how you deal with it. You know, more than ever, we're on our own when it comes to finances. There's no company pension. There are fewer HR professionals around to answer questions around the office. And that could leave many of us vulnerable to a disaster or distress anyway. FinLab is aiming at changing that, or at least making navigation a little easier. They've got a big event coming up today in New Orleans, and the executive director, Ryan Falvey, is here on a phone line to talk about it. Ryan, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Hi. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you having me here.
I'm sure it's a busy day. Now, are you in New Orleans today?
I am in New Orleans, yes.
Is the event, is it this afternoon or tonight?
It'll be tonight.
Okay. Tell me, before we get into specifically what's happening today with FinLab and CFSI, just tell me in general, what is FinTech and why all of us out here listening should be concerned about it?
Well, so, you know, fintech is, people typically use to refer to kind of this trend of technology companies getting into the business of offering financial services. And, you know, I think that there's, you know, I don't know if people should be concerned. I actually think it creates some great opportunities to hopefully expand access to the financial services and create products that, you know, work better for consumers.
Yeah, I suppose I said concerned. What I meant was interested. That would have been a better word.
It's a really interesting space, too. There's a ton happening, and ultimately, I think it really creates some great opportunities to really help consumers build their financial health.
All right, so here we are with this event tonight. Chicago nonprofit CFSI created FinLab with help of J.P. Morgan, and you're giving awards to a few startups when it comes to fintech tonight in New Orleans. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, so what we do is we identify, you know, challenges that Americans are facing. So, you know, CFSI, we're a nonprofit, we're based there in Chicago, and, you know, we're kind of the industry's expert on consumer financial health. And so, like, you know, for example, you know, 57% of Americans struggle with their financial health. You know, half of Americans couldn't cover a $400 emergency expense without selling something or borrowing money. And, you know, we don't think it's all gloom and doom. We actually think there's a lot of great opportunities to improve that situation for Americans and, you know, leveraging a lot of our powers and technology, innovation, a lot of the talent we have in this country to really try to change the landscape of financial services. So what we're going to do tonight is select 8 companies who will join the lab for the next year. We'll make an investment in each of the companies of about $250,000 per company. And then we really try to do is connect them to larger financial institutions, partners, thought leaders, policymakers, to really help the companies grow and reach more consumers and ultimately make their products even better.
And, you know, I sort of got into it in an awkward way, but the point I was trying to make earlier is the reason we should be focusing on this is because these are the sorts of things that are going to help us manage our finances, keep track of our retirement or 401k or, you know, in ways that the company used to when there was a fixed pension. That's not around anymore. When it comes to healthcare bills and all of that, fintech more and more is going to be what we use to keep track of everything.
Yeah, I think to a degree that's right, Steve. I mean, I think, you know, the economy's changed a lot over the last couple of decades. I don't think, you know, you only tell that to most people. And a lot of our financial services haven't kept pace. You know, people don't have liquidity that, you know, a checking account assumes. A lot of people can't afford, you know, a lot of the products, and they kind of end up with kind of high cost options. You know, low price loans are out of reach for many Americans. And so what we think is, you know, there's opportunities to leverage technology to try to help kind of solve some of those problems. And so, you know, we identify companies that we think are really helping consumers in new ways. You know, this is actually our second class of the lab. Last year we had a number of companies. And to give you a sense of the kind of companies we support, we had a company called Digit, which is an automated savings application. You can download it on your phone, and it links up to your checking account, and it looks for money that you might not miss and kind of sweeps it out of your account and sets it up in a Digit savings account. You know, I've used it too, and I mean, it's, you know, it saves, you know, $5, $10, $15 every couple of days, and it starts to add up and really helps build savings for Americans.
I think I talked to those guys, John. Maybe it was after they won last year. I don't remember, but I think they've been on. Can you go ahead and tell me who wins this year?
Well, we don't quite know who wins.
I thought I'd try.
We selected our finalists. I can give you a sense of some of the ones that that have a, you know, a 50% chance of winning. So right now we have selected our top 16, and so tonight we'll announce our top eight. But you know, we got here's a company that's a finalist called One Financial. It's got a product called B, and what B does is they go and they set up these little kiosks in neighborhoods that really don't have a lot of bank branches. And they allow people to kind of on the spot sign up for an account. They give you a card right there. And if you have a check, like a payroll check or something, you can actually get that loaded right on the card and then use that as, you know, your primary account. So, you know, a lot of Americans that, you know, the checking, they might not be able to get access to a checking account, or, you know, they're afraid of the fees. This is a really low fee alternative. But, you know, to give you a sense of this product, so yesterday this company was kind of pitching to the judges, and there was a guy working the audiovisual in the back. Uh-huh. And after the presentation, he came up to the founder. He's like, hey, that sounds actually pretty good. You know, I got this paycheck. Can I sign up for one of these right now? So, you know, there's a lot of demand for these products. And, you know, that's what will come.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's perfect. That's exactly what we're talking about, right? And so I've got a list in front of me. I don't know if these guys are finalists or not. Lenny. Is Lenny a finalist?
Lenny is a finalist.
Oh, good. Tell me about Lenny.
So what Lenny is Lenny is a kind of an alternative to higher cost payday loans. And so what it is you can sign up for Lenny, and Lenny will kind of instantly advance you relatively small money. You start with $100, but they'll go all up to $10,000. I think that, you know, their interest rates kind of fluctuate, but, you know, I think they cap out at about 16%. And there's, you know, a monthly fee, but it's a longer term loan. So, you know, you heard there's a lot of news recently about, you know, the CFPB is looking at the payday loan industry.
Sure.
And putting some new rules in place. But these guys are really kind of anticipating that that's going to happen and really thinking about, well, how would I structure a lending product that kind of is in line with that vision the CFPB has put out there? And, you know, they launched this product a couple months ago, and there are already kind of thousands of people who have taken these loans and are really engaging with the product.
Well, it's exciting, and, you know, actually it's good work that you do. I'm glad you're doing it, because these are the sorts of things that are going to help all of us, and maybe in many ways those of us in need more than most. So I look forward to hearing about the winners a little bit later. I hope you have a great event tonight.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Steve. I really appreciate it.
You
thank
bet.
You for having me on the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, let's keep in touch. We'll touch base maybe in a few months or so. Ryan Falvey, for the Managing Director of FinLab. Have a great night tonight, and stay away from the beignets.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
This is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. It's 12:22 on the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Bill Geiger is in the house. Bill is Chicago's retirement planning expert and comes by from time to time to talk about retirement, setting aside money, and being prepared for it. Bill, welcome back to the program.
Good to be here, sir.
So the topic du jour, the phrase of the day, is sustainable income.
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Sustainable income sounds pretty nice.
Yeah.
Do you have to do something for that, or does it just kind of happen?
No, it doesn't just happen.
No? What is sustainable income?
Sustainable income means income that you can depend upon in retirement that is there every month, no matter what. Whether the market goes up, goes down, goes sideways, like Social Security.
Right.
But from your portfolio.
Okay, so Social Security would be a sustainable income.
A pension.
A fixed pension would be.
If you're fortunate enough to have one of those.
I was going to say, those are two things that I'm not sure will be around.
Every once in a while, someone comes in with a pension. They're the happiest clients
right.
we've ever seen. And the most comfortable, because they know how they're going to live for the rest of their life.
How many people do you see now with a pension?
Maybe 1 in 20.
Right. I mean, I think I have a pension, a small one.
Yeah.
You know, from back in the day.
Like beer money, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's like beer and hamburger. I'm hoping for beer and hamburger money. So a little more of that. But so I have that little bit, which I could, you know, focus on, but certainly not enough to sustain. So Social Security, pension, and the rest of it's sort of up to us.
Yeah. And kind of the opposite of sustainable income is what a whole lot of people are trying to do. And that is to grow their portfolio. And when they retire, just kind of pick at it
right.
over time and hope that it lasts. And that's not sustainable.
So what we're talking about annuities here, if you have that set up?
It could be. It could be a alternative strategy, income strategy. Let me give you an example of the opposite. And that is a couple that came to us in 2012. They retired in 2000. With $1 million portfolio. Their advisor told them, no problem, take 5% out a year, spend it because we're going to grow it by more than that.
Right.
Between the last two downturns and them taking money out, by 2012, their portfolio had gone down to $184,000.
So,
that's the opposite of sustainable.
Right.
Right.
That's what we're saying, though. So if you set it up in a sustainable way, you're pretty much guaranteed a certain level of money coming in every month.
Let me give you
I want to ask you about a phrase because you just kind of described it, but the problem of the sequence of returns.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you just described, right? But flesh it out for me.
Yeah, it is. Depending upon when bad things happen in the market, if it's way down the road, not a problem. If it's close to the time that you retire, either close before or close after you retire, that's where people can really, really get in trouble. Because they lose. Imagine that you were retired in 2000 like this couple. They're pulling out 5% of their portfolio. And between pulling that money out and the market going down, in 3 years they'd gone from $1 million to $500,000.
And so that's the sequence problem.
That's the sequence problem. Yeah, and you never know when that's going to happen. So the solution is you build into your portfolio sustainable income. Let me give an example. We had a 60-year-old couple come in. They had – you're not 60 yet.
No.
We had a 60-year-old couple come in, and they put $800,000 toward a sustainable income strategy.
Okay.
In 7 years – out of that $800,000, they'll have $66,000 a year for life.
Okay.
Now, you take $66,000, add your Social Security to that, you're talking a six-figure income for the rest of your life.
Well, the beauty, too, is that then you just know it, right? It just simplifies things because that's the biggest – for me, that would be the biggest concern if I ever get there of retirement is the uncertainty of it.
It simplifies things. It really allows you to sleep at night. And what we're really retirement planning is so important today. But that part of retirement planning, the income planning for retirement, is phenomenally important. I know you're going to talk about this in a moment. We're going to have a special offer for the people that are listening for a complimentary financial plan. Let me just tell you that I'm going to sit down with the first five callers who call in personally. We'll put together a retirement plan. We'll put together an income plan for them, the whole deal.
All right. Thanks very much, Bill. Good to see you, and we'll see you in a couple weeks, maybe.
Good to see you, sir.
You want to tell us what you're going to be doing in between? Working hard for us and our money?
I'm going to Florida to visit my car that's being restored.
We're going to talk about that one day. We'll see
you. Yes,
have
we
a
are.
Trip. If you're in your late 50s or early 60s, this could be a confusing time for retirement planning. And if you're wondering how the election or global events and the current economy might affect your retirement, well, you're not alone. Bill Geiger from Geiger Wealth Management, sitting about 4 feet from me right now, understands that. He's got a tremendous opportunity for you today. He's going to sit down with you personally to create a full-blown financial plan for your retirement. It's complimentary for the next five callers who have at least $500,000 saved for their retirement. So call 800-681-2498, and Bill will translate the complex financial planning process into easy-to-understand steps with a roadmap to help get you where you want to be. Call Geiger Wealth Management right now at 800-681-2498. That's 800-681-2498. One more time, 800-681-2498. It's 12:36, the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Well, here's the thing about the Business Lunch and being easily distracted. You never really know what you're going to talk about. Elise Glink is in the studio, and we were in New Orleans for the beginning of the show about this big FinLab unveil later today. And so Elise and I have been talking about Microsoft, LinkedIn. Nah, not really. Beignets.
At the airport. I was amazed. I actually put it on my Instagram account. These amazing beignets. For $5, you get three huge ones.
This is at the New Orleans airport.
At the New Orleans airport. When you walk in and you're starving and it's an early flight and then you realize you're 15 minutes early, you have 15 minutes to spare, and there are beignets made to order.
Now, you call them the world's best beignets.
Well, I've only had beignets like once in my life. So, to me, they are the world's best. But I have to say, they, you know, I like donuts. I eat a lot of donuts.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the scale relative of donut science, beignets ranked high.
Well, there you go. So try the, if you ever go to New Orleans or if you're ever flying through New Orleans, make sure you try the beignets.
Let me just say, I hadn't been in New Orleans for 10 years.
How's it look?
Since right after the hurricane. It was amazing. They have rebuilt that city. And not everything, not completely, but man, the prices of real estate have skyrocketed. The businesses and the business district was incredible, and I was very, very impressed.
I have a good friend who used to work in the convention business for New Orleans, and I know that they're good people who have been trying very hard. So
yeah, kudos to them.
That's nice to hear.
Kudos to them.
Let's talk. You must be involved in. You have a LinkedIn account, right?
I do. Do you want to know how many are we linked? I have a lot of LinkedIn people.
How many?
I welcome all. By the way.
Do you?
Yeah.
You don't. Oh, really?
So anybody listening, this is it. So this is one of those things you have to decide. Are you going to just link into people you know, or are you going to link into everybody in the universe?
Because Facebook, I'm wide open pretty much, unless you're a prostitute. And I can tell. If you ask to be my friend, I can tell.
Wow. Okay.
I get a lot of those. You don't get.
I don't get any prostitutes asking
really?
Me.
No. Okay.
To LinkedIn or to.
No. So, but
on Instagram.
With Facebook, you're wide open. LinkedIn,
yeah.
They always said only accept the people who you really want to connect with, but you don't do that.
Well, there are people that I won't accept. So when I know that they're complete fakes and frauds, or they're from Nigeria or wherever, and I know that I don't know them,
uh-huh.
I don't accept them. But for legitimate people, you know, who are responding to columns that I've written or websites that I run or have heard my information or seen it on a website, you know, my syndicated column, the Tribune Syndicates, runs in about 60 newspapers and, you know, maybe a universe of websites. And so a lot of times I'll get requests from people who have seen my information, and I want to encourage their better money behavior.
Why would people limit who they have on LinkedIn just because they...
It's a trust factor, right?
Because you might be sharing that you're looking for a job or things like that.
You could be, or you don't want to share your contacts and connections if you're very, very high level with the sort of general public.
And that's what happens.
And a lot of times that does happen. People who are in sales, they will link into you, and then they will mine, if you're not careful, about your privacy settings.
So if we are linked, I can look at all of your contacts and information?
I think that's how I have my privacy settings, but I may not.
Right. So I got into LinkedIn a few years ago, and then sort of this is really something we've talked about. I set up the account, was involved in it briefly, and then completely moved away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have not updated my profile or anything in years. And I continue to get LinkedIn requests, sometimes from people I know, mm-hmm. and I just don't respond to them, which is almost insulting, I would think, to people.
Yeah, it's not great. It makes you look last century. Or last week.
Or it makes me look like I'm just dismissing them, which is not my intent.
Correct. And what's interesting about LinkedIn, I said this to somebody yesterday. She's starting a podcast, and I said, you know, you've got very, very high-level contacts. She has about 5,000 contacts. And I said, you know, you can download those. And she said, really? I said, yeah. You get a CSV file with all of the names and the current information of your LinkedIn contacts, and then you can do things with it. And it's a terrific service. It's very hard to find online, but you start where your picture is in the profile. You go down to settings. You click in there. Oh, there's Radio 101. I'm supposed to have turned that off. Sorry about that, folks.
That's right. I like the sound. It's a comforting sound of an old ring.
Of an old ring. I know.
Yeah.
That's why I have it,
because like
my
that.
Husband has, like, the new one, and that's just, you know, whatever. So you go into the settings, and then you go and you can click on, and it shows you where you can download that list. And that can be very valuable in a marketing front.
Tell me how.
Well, you can then use it to feed and populate different, not maybe MailChimp or Constant Contact, but you can actually send emails. You can connect through other ways and let them know that you're selling things, you're moving on, you're doing things. You want them to be engaged.
All right, so I have to work on my LinkedIn. And Maybe now that Microsoft is involved, I'll have a little incentive.
So let's think about what that strategy is, right? $26 billion, and they're financing it, by the way. Interest rates are low worldwide, so I guess they've gone out to borrow $26 billion. Satya is doing some really interesting things with kind of reformatting the company, and I've actually had some conversations with insiders about this. The idea thing is that if you take the business network that LinkedIn has created, 400 million people, those are people who are in business, thinking about careers. There is a real natural tie-in to Microsoft products, offices, services.
Sure.
And the way that Microsoft now sells its product, it's a subscription service. And so you could imagine if you're a business owner like I am, and I own three or four or five of those versions of Microsoft Office, that they might build in the LinkedIn platform and make it easier to use in conjunction with everything else.
So if you think of social media trying to sell ads or raise money that way, that's one thing. But here, what Microsoft is doing is they're trying to, they're almost like buying a distribution list.
They are. They're buying people who, and companies and other things, users who could interact better and in an easier way with things that Office provides, Microsoft Office. On the other side, from LinkedIn side, you know, I've bought their services, right? You could be a premium member and pay that way. You can actually put ads in for your company or for people, human resources, but that's a hard way to make a living. And by selling out, they get out of the business of making a living, and they get involved into something that's very profitable.
They've got a sugar daddy.
They do.
So in general, when it comes to, I know Twitter is struggling. I mean, Facebook's okay when it comes to money, right there?
I think if they haven't figured out, they have, what, 1.5 billion users every single day. If they haven't figured out how to monetize that, that's on them.
But how about in general? I mean, it still is a sort of thing that social media companies are trying to sort out. I know
they are.
Instagram is working on ads and things
Snapchat,
like that.
Snapchat stories. Stories have become the new latest thing this week for companies. Companies will create a Snapchat story, which is like a video or it's a series of images that are strung together.
Sure, it's the only way I get communication from my daughter.
Is Snapchat?
A Snapchat stories, you know, like, oh, let's watch your story.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're looking at me.
Okay.
No, well, she's overseas, so.
You don't have WhatsApp?
Well, we have WhatsApp, sure, and you know, we text a little bit today. I just sent her a video earlier.
Yes, I saw that. That was cool. You're a cool dad this week.
Yeah, I had Colin Just say hello to Emma. But by and large, if we want to see what's going on, where she's been, she posts. She's great about posting these stories.
Right, and it's interesting because, again, this is a play on social media for younger people. There's a joke that anybody over the age of 37 is never going to figure out Snapchat.
Right.
The thing I would want to...
It's not funny.
It's not. But for businesses, there's a lot of time and effort needed to be expended to learn how to use these different social media platforms. And then there are new ones that pop up all the time. And so you almost have to have somebody who's, you know, 21 in your office,
you know,
watching
what?
Out for you.
It's like surfing. You know, you can be out in the ocean and feel really good about catching the wave. And it's the MySpace wave, right? And then all of a sudden you crash on the beach and it's gone and there are more waves out there.
There are a lot of things that are dying out there as well. So there was a platform called Spreecast that came on the market, and we try to test a lot of these different ones in our office because this is what we do for companies and clients. So we were testing Spreecast, and it was an ability to upload videos and webinars and things and then spread that around. It worked okay. It was a little clunky. I thought it would get better, and we got a letter from the CEO saying he was shutting it down July 14th.
Wow.
And what you don't hear a lot of are the ones that shut down, but they don't let you know they're shutting down, and so you've got media kind of lying out there. I don't know what happens to it.
Elise Klink, thank you for coming by this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Nice to see you. See you next week.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WG. Thank you, Orin. It's 12:51, just about 12:52 here on the Wintrust Business Lunch, Thursday afternoon on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. Thanks very much for listening. I appreciate that. I hope you'll follow me on Facebook at Steve Bertrand or on Twitter at Steve Bertrand as well. All right, let's go to prison. John Baldwin is on a phone line, and he is the director of the Illinois Department of Corrections. Mr. Baldwin, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thank you, Steve. I deeply appreciate it.
You bet. And when I say to go to prison, we're just going to visit. We're not going to stay. So this is going to be a short chat. You know, you're making the rounds. I saw a couple of op-ed pieces you wrote downstate and elsewhere about the budget impact. And clearly yours is by and large, the view of the administration. But tell me the how it is pinching you, the fact that now looks as if Illinois is going to move into its second year, at least start that way, without a budget. I mean, is that the sort of thing that you can absolutely see as having an impact on the way you do your business?
Absolutely, Steve. First off, corrections doesn't deal well with uncertainty. We really want to have a budget, want a balanced budget. Our staff need to understand that we're going to keep the goods and services coming to them so they can continue their job at helping improve outcomes for offenders. And that becomes more difficult when all of our vendors struggle with not being paid or being paid a fraction of what they actually are owed from the state of Illinois.
Put some meat on that. Are you paying your vendors late? Are you paying your vendors a fraction of what they're owed?
We are paying some of our vendors something and others nothing, simply because we have very limited resources to pay vendors. And some vendors can participate in a program that gets them a partial payment through a different operation. But by and large, the vendors, whether they're large or small, mom and pop or giant corporation, are receiving virtually nothing from the Illinois DOC, and I find that wrong.
Have you, I think we all do, John, have you lost vendors because of this?
We have not lost vendors yet. We have had two community colleges stop providing education services to a couple of institutions, but no other vendors have left us at this moment.
Well, you know, I think you just touched on something that I want to address, because I don't want to say it's easy to lock people up and leave them alone, but as a very basic, you can lock someone up, feed them, and guard them. But then there are the enrichment programs or the idea, the things you can do to maybe see to it that they don't come back to prison another time, the recidivism programs, education, and all of that. And it seems to me that that is what might be particularly at risk when money becomes, if not tight, uncertain. I mean, have you suffered in that area?
Absolutely. The issue is, Illinois has a very, very bad recidivism rate, which is return rate to prison, 47.1%. We should not have that high of the recidivism rate. The programs that you mentioned, including medical, dentistry, psychology, psychiatry, education, I can go on, are impacted by the lack of a budget. All of those help us improve the outcomes for offenders. And that is what is so wrong about this. The correction system in any state, once you take away somebody's liberty, the U.S. court system has been very clear, you are responsible for them in a constitutional fashion. And we need to make sure that we fulfill that obligation each and every day. And that is why this budget issue is so important to us. We need the certainty that we are going to run a legally defined, legally accepted correction system.
You come to the Illinois Department of Corrections by way of Iowa. What was Iowa's recidivism rate?
Just under 27%.
So 20% higher here in Illinois. And this might not be all budget related, but why is that?
You know, I've been here now 10 whole months.
That's what you're there to figure out, right? Yeah.
That's right. But basically, we spend a lot of time counting outputs in the Department of Corrections, and we're changing that to counting outcomes. And Southern Illinois University is helping us look at every one of our programs, and there's over 300 of them, to determine whether they're evidence-based and, oh, by the way, do they work? And so that process is ongoing right now, and we will be fundamentally changing how we do our programming once that study gets completed.
Illinois Department of Corrections Director John Baldwin, you know, I'd love to have you come back on sometime when we have a little more time and can talk about those recidivism programs and all of that, because that has a big impact on business in Illinois, and that's what we talk about here. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, sir.
You bet.
Good day.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN.